Brad Mossman, do I have you on the line with me?
Yes, I do, Jeffrey. How are you tonight?
I'm doing outstanding, Brad. We are going to have a world-class call because you and I are on it. So what I'm going to do real quickly, Brad Mossman, is I am going to cover a few quick announcements. I'll bring you back out here in about 5 minutes, and we're going to have one of the most awesome calls with thousands of downloads tomorrow because your message is going to impact thousands. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I am my 18th year in free enterprise of being a success coach, personal mentor. I also speak in front of large and small groups, have coached over 9,000-plus clients and devoted over 50,000 hours of one-on-one, personal one-on-one coaching. On December 2nd, the one and only Alexis Romano will be my guest on the Tuesday night call. I have a whole host of exceptional entrepreneurs lined up for 2014 as we end the year and 2015. You're going to hear from people like Jennifer Trinkner, who just had her first multiple five-figure month. You'll hear from Tara Romano, a young woman who you just heard call in, who is an exceptional multipreneur. You're going to hear from Mark Victor Hansen, John Assaraf, and a whole host of speakers from many, many places, and also superstar mompreneur Bridget Bartley as we wind up this year going into the first year of 2015. Now, here are some of the generic events that I have scheduled as I end the year 2014 and move into 2015. I'll go through these real quick because I have some great content with one of my exceptional clients, Brad Mossman, in the bullpen tonight. This Saturday, I will be in one of my favorite cities. It was my dream to move to Los Angeles, California. I accomplished that in 1985, and I will get to have the privilege of speaking in the City of Angels this Saturday at a beautiful location right at the LAX airport, and that is the Hilton Hotel at LAX. That is a fabulous property right on Century Boulevard. December 6th, my first ever speaking engagement in Long Island, New York. I want to thank Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz for being my exceptional host for that event. December 20th will be the All She Wrote event. That will be the end of the era for 2014 for JC and the place to be. That would be December 20th in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. That is December 20th. I'll kick it back into gear on Saturday, January 10th in my own backyard, beautiful Pleasanton, California, in the East Bay of the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. On January 15th, I'll be in Palm Springs, California. What another great place to launch a winner. Now, that is a Thursday one-day event. That is a Millionaire Blueprint, and there is information online, and there's still seats available. We have room for 750 people at that event. I'll be on January 24th, Philadelphia. January 31st, my first ever trip to the cowboy boot capital of the world to speak. Now, I've been in El Paso many times, one of the most awesome western cities of history in America, with Casey Fluff. Casey is an exceptional businesswoman, friend, and entrepreneur. Then February 7th, Spartanburg, California, the home of one of my all-time favorite bands, Marshall Tucker. I want to thank Bridget Bartley for hosting me there. March 7th, St. Louis, Missouri, one of my adopted hometowns. I have seen the St. Louis Cardinals play, and I will say this, well over 100 times in my career. March 14th, Norwalk, Connecticut, with Drew Berman. March 28th, New Weehawken, New Jersey. April 18th, Fort Lauderdale. And April 25th, my first speaking engagement in Houston in a few years. Thank you, Carlotta Davis. And with that, we will move right in to the inspirational portion of tonight's call. It is with great pleasure I bring to you an exceptional human being, someone who is very close to my heart, who when you hear his story, he will unequivocally bring you to his knees of the depths of deprivation he let his addiction take himself, and also the comeback that he has mounted in less than 2 years. To say it is impressive would be an understatement. Our guest tonight is Brad Mossman. Now, I had the privilege of meeting Brad about 7 years ago when Brad was a young man in free enterprise, and Brad was in a real estate investment culture. Brad was not a overnight success in that business. Now, what has Brad done today? And I'm going to let you tell his own story. But right now, Brad owns one of the world's first and largest CBD-rich hemp oil companies, Hemp Remedies. In addition to Hemp Remedies, Brad also owns Plant of Renown LLC, cannabis news and advertising company, is partners in a premier cannabis web development firm, and is also the global sales manager for CP USA CBD oil manufacturer. In 2013, Brad started his hemp empire with a Facebook page and little money. Now, Brad also has laid the foundations for one of the first hempcrete companies in the United States. Brad exemplifies the proliferation of the American dream, and once again, his story is powerful, come true by turning his passion into success. Brad is committed to assisting other people heal naturally and is now avidly assisting entrepreneurs launch cannabis and hemp businesses worldwide. Mr. Brad Mossman, how are you this evening?
Jeffrey, I'm fabulous. I want to thank you for the warm welcome and the introduction. And I'm very honored and humbled to be on your call tonight. It's been a goal of mine for about 8 years, and I'm very thankful to say that I've achieved it tonight. So, yeah, I'm doing fantastic.
Brad, you have shared the stage with me the last several months in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You've shared the stage with some of the greatest coaching clients I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with, C.G. Siddons, Tara Romano, and Alexis Romano, and you've shared the stage with those exceptional women. You now are on your way to being an international famous speaker because your story has that kind of impact. Now, I'm passionate about your story as you are passionate about it because I know the story. I watched you go through it. So I'm going to just share my version, and then we're going to move right into your portion. I met Brad in about 2007 when I was a mindset coach for the largest real estate culture, the real estate educational culture in America. Brad was a struggling entrepreneur when I met him, pretty much down on his luck, addicted to methamphetamine. I actually met Brad when he was suffering some of the effects of that addiction. Fast forward to about 3 years later, Brad shows up at one of my events in Orlando, Florida. He gives me one of the last $20 to his name. He has a beat-up leather suitcase. He sits in my event with another exceptional internet marketing coach that we were hosting in Orlando, Florida. A small event. We only had about 30 attendees. Brad was one of those attendees. He let me know at the end of that event that the 20 he gave me was the last 20 he had to his name. And he was absolutely glad and privileged to be a part of that today. I reconnected with Brad last year as he was well on his way to turning his life around. So, Brad, it's a great privilege to have you on tonight's call. Can you share a little bit about your background and what you went through in the last couple of years, the last about 10 years in an abbreviated version?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a home that was, it was a little bit, I guess you would say, dysfunctional growing up. There was alcoholism in my family and a little bit of drug addiction on my mom's side. So I grew up, not in the best environment, I guess you would say, and I started using drugs very early in life, probably around 13 years old, 7th or 8th grade, right around there, continued all through high school. And, never really did much with myself other than get high. I never was one of those people that stole or broke the law. Like, I didn't do anything really horrible to other people in society to get my drugs. What I did was I sold drugs to support my habits. So, all through my 20s, I spent my life working as a waiter. It was an easy job to keep when you're a drug addict. You didn't have to be to work till 4 or 5 o'clock, and even sometimes that was hard because my
Welcome
drug
Welcome to the party that never ends.
Yeah, work more hours to buy more cocaine, to work more hours to buy more cocaine, the whole, the vicious cycle. And I spent my life at night hanging out in nightclubs, and I knew enough friends that used drugs that I could, get a bag of drugs and split it up 5 ways and be able to get myself a free bag of drugs for the night and some money to buy drinks with. And I'd do it all over again nonstop. So that's pretty much what I did.
So, Brad, what put you in a position that you changed? When did the pain become great enough?
The pain became great enough when I moved down to Florida to marry a girl that was just a girl I really didn't know too well. I had gotten her pregnant. I moved down to Florida to marry her, and it was pretty bad. I had about 8 months clean and sober from methamphetamine. I had overdosed on meth. The last year of my drug use, I was on methamphetamine, and it completely consumed me. I had about a $500 a day crystal meth habit. And it totally consumed me, this drug methamphetamine. It was stronger than anything I ever did. And basically, I couldn't keep a job I went from about 195 pounds down to 135, 140 pounds in about 60 days. And I was just totally insane. I actually overdosed a couple times the last time I was in the emergency room from it. And that's when I made my first attempt at getting clean and sober. And I had about 8 months clean and sober, and I moved to Florida to pursue a relationship with a girl who I had gotten pregnant during my drug addiction. She went down to Florida to get clean and sober. I did it here in New Jersey. We both had some clean time, and I went down there. When I got down to Florida, you know, now I was trying to do the right thing, and, you know, I went back to doing what I knew how to do, and that was being a waiter. I already had a son at that time who was 8 years old who was living in New Jersey with his mom. When I went down to Florida, I jumped right into a relationship with this girl and married her, and we had a child, and she was pregnant with my third son. So I had all of this responsibility, and I was...
And no responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I
no
was,
responsibility
know, I
skills. Now, Brad, had you started a business at this point?
No. At this point, I was a waiter, and waiting tables wasn't paying the bills at all.
Were you even a college graduate? Were you even a high school graduate?
No, I dropped out of high school going on to my third junior year. I repeated my junior year, and midway through it, I was going to get left back again, and my father finally allowed me to drop out of high school because I would have been 21 years old graduating.
So being a recovering drug addict, Brad, I know exactly what it's like to be that loser with an addiction just waiting to relapse.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't make it through high school. You know, I went to school high every day. If I won at all. So, yeah, I didn't have any type of education.
So let's move the story forward real quick so we can get into the enterprise and the entrepreneurial skills that you've learned since you've started to experience sobriety. So you have the three kids, you have a wife pregnant. Now, isn't your wife also an addict by this time?
Yeah, and she actually relapsed, and shortly after I had relapsed, because, you know, when you have someone in the house using drugs, not too long till you are either. So I had relapsed as well, and she actually left. She didn't want to get clean and sober, and she took off and left me with two kids in diapers. So I went into a one-year program. I had a family that's a friend of this family that went to our church that agreed to watch my children so I could go into a long-term program. And I went into a program that was for about 10 months.
It's an act of God that the state didn't get involved to take your kids. That's just how fortunate you are through this whole situation.
Yeah, it was close. Our church had a phenomenal program where they actually had families that were set up to be foster families, and there was a family in there that was friends of mine. So through this program, they were able to get the assistance that they needed to take care of my kids I was in the program.
You get clean and sober. After 10 months, you come out, and then what happens?
Yeah, I have about $700 to my name and, you know, a suitcase full of clothes and two children. So, you know, I had what I was doing was I was renting out for closed condos, and I would go from one to the other. So there was a condo that was about to be in foreclosure, and you could get them very cheap in Florida. You could get something that was $1,200 for like $600. It was half price. So I was going from one condo to another and just building up survival skills. And that's when I went from being a waiter to trying my hand at sales, and I was pretty good at it. But
that's the era that I met you around 2007, and one of the best clients I've ever coached in my life, Chad Wade's Culture in Florida. I remember it like yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, as I recall, at that time you had half a set of teeth. Is that correct?
Yeah, one of the horrible things that happened to me was after I got clean and sober, all of my teeth started falling out. It was a very painful experience, and that was from crystal meth. Crystal meth is about 30 times stronger than cocaine, and it has a half-life of about 18 hours. So every time you take a hit of methamphetamine, it's actively working in your system for about 18 hours. One of the effects of that is constricting capillaries. So the tiny, teeny tiny capillaries that were feeding blood, you know, the blood flow to my teeth were being shut off, so my teeth basically got no blood flow for the year and a half that I used meth. And that, you know, basically killed them. They were dead teeth. So fast forward 4 or 5 years later, they started falling out at a fast rate. So it was very embarrassing and very painful because I couldn't work the sales jobs that I wanted that involved face-to-face sales because my teeth were rotting out.
And you couldn't afford to get new ones.
Oh, my, Jeffrey, it was so heartbreaking, man. Let me tell you, two kids, you know, that you're trying to provide for, And, you know, I'm making $10 an hour, which is not paying the bills at all. You know, obviously on public assistance, I was on food stamps for a year. Very grateful for that, you know, because if it wasn't for them, I would have been homeless. But, yeah, absolutely. Every dentist I went to, $20,000, $50,000, $40,000. And it was like you walked out of there wanting to cry, you know, and I realized that, you know, I had to do something fast to make the money that I needed to make the changes in my life that I wanted to have.
And so how did you do that, Brad? How did you turn your life around at your rock bottom? You're clean and sober, but you're rock bottom. How did you turn it around?
You know, it started with a decision. It started basically with, hey, I've learned to survive and, you know, eke out an existence, and I mastered that. You know, I was very good at that. And I decided that, you know, I'm so tired of making all these employers that I work for all this money. I'm going to learn the skills. I will find a way to make it for myself, because I was doing pretty good in sales jobs for other employers and making them money. And I knew that it was time. I wasn't living like this anymore. My kids deserved better than this. I was so tired of not being able to afford things. And there was just no way that I was going to be that, you know, living off of $10 an hour with three children and food stamps. It wasn't
happening.
But,
Brad, your mindset at this point, you had so many years being well-versed as being a broke dick. And you know what that means. You played, what's your favorite statement you say, the hurt, harm, how do you say that?
I was caught up in the hurt, hate, harm cycle. You know, and the biggest thing for me was, you know, I was so caught up, I was consumed with anger and bitterness, Jeffrey, because it was the hurt, hate, harm cycle. We get hurt. We have an offense done to us, okay? Someone violates us. And then what happens is hatred builds up from the unresolved anger. We have unresolved anger, which turns into rage, and then you get imploding or exploding rage, and then you get the root of bitterness that sets in. And then the next stage, that's the hate stage, and then the next stage is the harm stage, where we harm ourselves or others, either by using drugs. I mean, the fruit of the root of bitterness is many. So it could be acting out sexually, lying, stealing, cheating, suicidal thoughts, screaming, talking about people, gossip, my case, drugs.
Brad, isn't it amazing how smart you get about addictions when you are one?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
It's like
Jeffrey,
becoming a jailhouse lawyer. You become so good at understanding your addiction. You're an expert on being an addict. And then when you get clean and sober, those skills don't work.
Nah. For me, I was so consumed with anger, Jeffrey, and bitterness of what had been done. Because when my wife and I had broken up, you know, she was very. She has a lot of issues, so she would make up complete lies about me and tell them to people, and it bothered me because they weren't true. So I would literally sit in my bed at night arguing, and I was just so angry that I was literally sick. It consumed me, the bitterness, and I would lay in bed all night battling these battles in my head that never even happened. That's how consumed with it I was.
That's what control is. So how do you turn it around?
I had to work a forgiveness program. I had to really understand, you know, I had to work a program I went through called Restoring Relationships. I'm in the process of getting certified to teach it. And I had to identify who my offenders were. I had to validate the pain that they caused in my life. And then I had to work a forgiveness process. I had to learn that forgiveness wasn't letting them off the hook. It was letting me off the hook.
Very
I had
good.
To understand.
So how do you launch your businesses?
Okay, great. So while I'm working in sales and my teeth are rotting out of my mouth, I also couldn't really socialize with people. I became like a hermit in my house because I was embarrassed to meet new people with the way my teeth were. And also because I was poor, I couldn't go out anyway. I mean, $10 an hour, you know, barely paid our bills. So I learned how to master Facebook. I was on it all the time, and I was watching my friends that were network marketers. And I knew that there was a way to make money online. So around this time, I was getting very interested in plant-based diets and juicing vegetables. I went on a vegan diet, and I started juicing. I lost tremendous weight, and I would share all of these juice recipes that I was learning and all these information about proper nutrition and plant-based diets. And my Facebook page started getting, my personal profile page started getting like 30 to 40 friends requests an hour because of the information I was sharing. So I was thinking, hey, this is great. Maybe I'll start selling juicers online, you know, or something like that. And along the way, about 3 years ago, someone had sent me the story of a boy named Cash Hyde who was a young child with brain cancer. He had a grapefruit-sized tumor. I'm sorry, a tumor in his brain the size of an orange, and it was inoperable and terminal. He hadn't eaten in 28 days, and he was hooked up to all these machines. And his dad put something called cannabis oil into his feeding tube, and 6 hours later, he was sitting up eating a piece of cheese and talking, and they continued to give him a dose of this every day.
And just so we can clarify, cannabis oil is not tetrahydrocannabinol, which all addicts know is the derivative of marijuana. So what you're talking about is a whole new healing hemp product that's really revolutionizing healing in the last 3 to 5 years. Is that correct?
Actually, the one that he was on was a high THC oil at this point. And this is what I started learning about. THC actually causes apoptosis in cancer cells. That's not a medical claim. It's a fact. Our government has about 5 patents on it. So this was the high THC oil, and I couldn't believe it. And I started researching it more, and I started finding these other people, regular people that have put their cancers in remission or really cured debilitating diseases with this high THC oil. So I made a Facebook page about it where I would just take their photos, and I would make a little headline with Photoshop, you know, meet John Smith. He had this cancer, and he used cannabis oil, and he's cured now. And I would do a whole right up next to the photo with a link to their Facebook page and any news stories about it, because there's a lot of local news coverage about it. This Facebook page went from 10 people that liked it to 22,000 likes in like a month, and it was hitting 1.8 million people a week, the stories. And it was just like the most popular Facebook page at the time on cannabis oil, and I was actually invited to speak on 2 radio talk shows sharing about it. So about a year into it, as the page is growing, there is an interest in something called CBD oil. In marijuana, THC is the highest concentrated cannabinoid. It's about 29% of the strongest varieties of cannabis. This other cannabinoid called CBD is found in usually very small amounts, only 1 to 2%, sometimes 3 or 4 in medical marijuana varietals, and it's actually the cannabinoid that gives you the majority of the healings. And it's non-psychoactive. So everyone, there was this big interest in the CBD because it gives you the majority of the health benefits. And around that time, there was a company called CPUSA that I had gotten in contact with that was making legal CBD oil from hemp varietals.
That's fantastic. Go ahead.
Okay, I had a pause. So they had these industrial hemp varietals that were naturally high in CBD that they could legally extract the CBD oil from because it was from hemp. Hemp is exempt from the Schedule I. And they allowed me to become one of their first vendors, one of their first retailers. So I had been working with a web development company doing sales, and the owner of the company built me a website. And I quit, you know, my first day in business because of the popularity of my Facebook page. I made like $1,000 in 2 hours, and I was like, oh, God, here we go. This is what I've been waiting for. So it grew from there. I went from being one of their first retailers to their highest grossing retailer in 30 days, and then they made me their global sales manager, and I started setting up retailers nationwide.
Now, go slow here. Did you even have a car at this time?
No, I didn't.
And you were using a shopping cart to take your kids shopping, is that right?
Yeah, Jeff. It was so bad that when I got out of rehab, I got my children back. I had about $700. I had no car. I actually had to walk my 2 children about a mile to the bus stop every day. Our development was in an industrial area, and our complex was about a good half mile just from the main road, and then it was another almost quarter mile to the bus stop. So I had to walk every single day in a suit and tie because at that time I was working for a web development company from home, and I was a junior precious metal broker, so I had to dress nice. Suit and tie, I carried a laptop with a computer, laptop bag with a computer. I had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, both in diapers. I had to carry both of their lunch boxes and a diaper bag and my lunch box all the way up to that bus stop every day in the South Florida heat. It was horrendous. And
so, Brad, this is a real rags to riches story. I mean, this is not the book you planned to write, but this is the hand that you created for yourself. I wanted to make sure there was context. I wanted the people, because I know your story, so I wanted the people to understand.
When people whine
and complain about their inconveniences, which you have gone through to be able to build your empire. So with absolutely no money down, a little above the poverty line, no car, in a small apartment with two kids in diapers, no wife to assist you, you start to build your enterprise. So where are you today with the credentials that I mentioned, and what is it that you're really creating for people in healing America with your great products?
Great. So as of right now, I am the owner of Hemp Remedies. That's my personal retail store, which is now a wholesale store as well, and I'm officially the second highest grossing legal CBD oil retail and wholesale company. I am the global sales manager of CP USA. I set up vendors nationwide, and I'm about to launch a hempcrete company, which will be the first of its kind in the United States. It's going to be a distribution company. We actually make a concrete mix out of hemp herd that's it's about 30% lighter than traditional concrete, 40% stronger. It's flame retardant, and it has a zero carbon imprint. It actually absorbs toxins. So we make 25 different concrete mixes. It's called hempcrete. And we're going to be making hemp pavers as well, so I'm about to launch that. And then I have a medical marijuana company for advertising and news called Plant of Renown LLC. The website is temporarily down for a rebuild, but it's one of the largest medical marijuana websites there is today. It's massive. We just took it down there for a redesign.
All right, so let's take a look at medically what this means. Many people don't really understand the value of marijuana. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned the word marijuana, it paints a picture of tetrahydrocannabinol, getting high, bongs, Panama Red,
right.
Columbia Gold. You can tell I was once there. I mean, of getting high, being a stoner. Well, that still does exist. There are states that actually you can still smoke smoke and use marijuana. But what specifically, if I'm John Q. Public, What value am I going to get from some of your products?
Excellent question. My company, Hemp Remedies, specializes in non-psychoactive cannabidiol products. They're 100% federally legal, and they cannot give you a buzz. And they are actually, the CBD is the cannabinoid that gives you the majority of the healings that you're hearing about in the plant and people using it. So I'm not really interested in making any type of recreational products that get you high. Mine focuses specifically on your health and for getting these much-needed cannabinoids into your system.
I own several of your products, so I just started using your shampoo and your conditioner. Now, you have one signature product that is specifically for inflammation. It assists men's prostate. It assists other situations in the body. What is that product, and what is its value?
Okay, so the products that work really well for inflammation, I saw one called Sibdex. You can find that on my website, which is hempremedies.com. CBD is the king of inflammation relief. When you take CBD, it disperses all throughout your body from your CB2 receptors that are found in you, and it will actually form a new protein in your body that will fight inflammation, any inflammation you have, and work to prevent any new inflammation from forming. My company, Hemp Remedies, I'm pretty excited to announce, I just launched my very own product line called Relief, and I make a CBD wax. What we do is we do a whole plant extract on these industrial hemp crops that are naturally high in CBD, and it comes out into a wax-like concentrate, and you vaporize it, and it melts anxiety, usually within 3 to 5 minutes. It also does a pretty good job on mild pain levels. So that's something I'm pretty proud of. Right now, in the state of Florida, 7 to 14 people die every single day from legally prescribed opiates. So, me being a recovered drug addict and having so many friends that are in the Narcotics Anonymous program, there's nothing more that I hate than seeing a friend that has 3, 5, 10 years clean and then they break a leg. They have to get screws in their legs. They have to get these surgeries, and obviously there's pain, and they're going to be prescribed opiates. And it breaks my heart when I see them prescribe opiates and then 6 months later they're using heroin or Oxycontin again illegally, and then a year later I'm burying them. So I'm pretty excited about these CBD products that, you know, are proven very effective for neuropathy and other types of pain. They can take these instead. They do a pretty good job of reducing the pain, and they do it without a narcotic high.
All right, Brad, I've interviewed thousands of people in my career, and on this conference call alone, I've interviewed a few hundred, and you are a rags-to-riches story. You're a real American story. I mean, your story deserves to be heard and on TV, but here's what I want you to really assist people to understand tonight, because I have a similar story to yours. When the pain is great enough, when you hit rock bottom, as you know, rock bottom is a very overrated place to be, but sometimes it's very liberating to be at rock bottom because there's nowhere to go but up. So here's what you can really assist my database to understand. You were absolutely at rock bottom with two kids. How did you have a vision big enough to create the kind of companies you have when you had no resources, no car, living in the bottom of the bottom of an apartment, using a shopping cart, half a set of teeth, and NFL, no friends left, no funds left, and not for long? How do you find the courage, the intestinal fortitude, to have a vision as big as you had to get where you are in less than 3 years?
Jeff, it started with a belief that I can do it, that if I can do it, I'm worth it, and I can do it. My why was greater than the excuses why I couldn't, and I was determined to find a way. I started listening to you every single day. I couldn't afford Jeffrey's coaching at the time. Okay, but Jeffrey has a free podcast. I listen to you every single day. Jeff is the kind of coach that I need. So I had the right type of influence. I started modeling people that were successful and listening to what they had to say and applying their systems. I used basic social media skills. Every time I got a new product in, the first thing I do is I set up a video camera and I make a free YouTube video. My YouTube videos have been watched, some of them, over 750,000 times. I started a Facebook page. You know how much a Facebook page costs to start? It's free. And I learned the basic skills of social media.
All right, this is outstanding, but here's the question I have for you. I am going to interrupt in this one. How did you overcome I'm a loser tag? How did you silence the inner chatter? The noise that said, but you're just going to sabotage it again. You're going to relapse. You know this is going to happen. How did you silence that inner critic?
I'm a believer. You know, I pray, Jeffrey, and I believe in myself, and I started changing my self-talk. Every single night when I lay down, I visualize where I want to believe. I started with my affirmation, telling myself that I could. I stopped with all the excuses of why I couldn't, and started giving myself why I could.
So what you're really saying is you practice simple discipline one day at a time. You didn't have 9 different coaches. You weren't going to every seminar you could possibly find. And then there's nothing wrong with doing that. But you couldn't afford that. You weren't practicing self-help. You were practicing action. Is that right?
Absolutely. I found one person that I related with, and that is Jeffrey Combs, period. Jeff, when I listen to you, I get inspired. I don't want to hear the good times gospel. I want to hear the get your ass in gear gospel. That's what I want to hear.
The AAC, so the ass in cheer.
Absolutely, absolutely. So every single day, my day starts the same. I wake up, I pray, I have an attitude of gratitude and of excitement, and the first thing I do in the morning is listen to your podcast. We have short attention spans. You know, my brain's been damaged from all of the abuse I put it through for years, so I'm the first to admit that my attention span can go pretty quick. I listen to your weekly podcast at least 4 times a week, preferably 5 or 6, every single day to start my day, and that's how I get myself in the right mind frame, because we need a daily renewing of our mind. And it's, what are we renewing our minds with?
Brad, you took an idea, and you took it from a ground floor idea, and you took it to where you have over 750,000 views on certain videos. So here's what I want you to assist, once again, the listeners here, because many people on tonight's call, they're stuck. Then they say things like, I'm not good at writing. I'm not good at doing videos. I don't show up good on film. I don't know what to say. I don't know who to be. You don't understand my situation. I'm overwhelmed. I don't have time. How did a guy at rock bottom go from where you were Just give them a few tips on how you built your culture, because that's what's important. You built your culture, then you taught yourself how to market to it. How did you do that?
Good question. The first thing that I did, obviously is the belief, but it's taking the first step. I did something. Every single day I do. Make sure you do one thing for your business today. If you're on this phone call right now, do something liberating for yourself. Try forming an LLC. Put yourself in business, but do something every day to better your business. Me, I modeled people that I knew were successful. On your Facebook pages, guys, find someone who, you know, makes a post and gets all these likes. Okay, someone that's a successful marketer, and just model it. All that I do is I model. I find someone that's good at something that I'm not good at, and I just copy exactly what they do.
That's a Tony Robbins term. He really popularized that in the 80s of modeling, and he popularized it in the book Awaken the Giant Within. I started doing that myself. I never coached with Tony Robbins, but I started modeling him. I started watching him. All the network marketing conventions I went to, I would get as close to the stage as possible when I wasn't going to be on it, and I would model the speakers. I would watch how they talked, the way they walked, the way they stood. I spent hours watching Jim Rohn VHSs. I know exactly what you mean of modeling. I used to subscribe to a company long before the internet called Millionaires in Motion, the great John K. Lynch, who incidentally did die of cancer. So I used to be a part of that organization. And I did the same thing, Brad. I modeled and I produced. I didn't spend my time going to a lot of events. I spent my time producing. Now, can you share some tips on what a day really should look like if you own your own enterprise?
Absolutely. It should be working. Mark Cuban has a great quote. I don't want to dice it up, but it goes pretty much like this. You should be working every single day like there is someone working 24 hours around the clock trying to take everything you have away from you. So my day involves a lot of outbound phone calls. If I am not making phone calls, I am not making money. So I spend my nights. I'm a single dad. I raise two little kids by myself. So my day has some segments in it. I literally work till 10 o'clock at night, from 8 o'clock at night till 11 o'clock at night, 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I am finding businesses that need my products, and I am writing down their phone numbers and their email addresses. At night, while I'm writing down their phone number, they are being sent an email, an introduction email about me and my company and my products. The next day, I will have a list of, however many companies I find, 25 or 50, and I will call them up and give them a phone call introducing myself and the products. It involves a lot of phone calls. It involves a lot of social media. That's what I built my empire.
And Brad, are you afraid you're going to say the wrong thing, make a mistake, offend someone?
Nope.
Why not?
Because I've learned that it doesn't matter. With me, I started my career in phone sales because of my teeth. So I had to make 300 phone calls a day if I wanted to have a job the next day.
I can relate. I used to work for Time Life Books, and I sold Yellow Pages for 4 years door to door.
Yeah. I was a fronter. So I learned really quick that someone saying no and hanging up the phone on you is nothing to take personal. You pick up the phone and dial the next number. On to the next one. So, I put myself out there. You guys should not be afraid to make a YouTube video. Every single phone call I get every day. Oh, you're the guy on YouTube. Oh, I just watched your YouTube video. Hey, we saw you on YouTube. Oh, you're the guy that's all over the internet on YouTube.
Tell them how to monetize that. Tell them how you created a YouTube channel and how you turned that into, like you said, 750,000 views on one video.
Yeah, all that I did, listen, guys, it's nothing spectacular. I did these videos. I had a long red beard, mountain man beard. I mean, I just set up, you just do it, okay? You don't worry about, you don't worry about being perfect. You worry about just getting it done. So I set up every single time to this day, when I get a new product in, the first thing I do is unbox it, take a look at the product, read all the stats, which pretty much I already know before I ordered it, but I go through everything again, and I set up my basics. A video camera, and I shoot a video right here in my home, right in my kitchen, right in my dining room because the lighting's good. And I just make a video. Hey, this is Brad from Hemp Remedies. This is my web address, the phone number, and this is the product I have today. I tell them a little bit about the product. I cut it and I upload it to YouTube and I post it on my pages, and it's on to the next one.
But what if it's not perfect? What if you made a grammatical mistake?
If you made a grammatical mistake, you turn it off and you cut another one. It's that simple. I usually don't. I can flow pretty well. I realize that people aren't grading me on my grammar. They want to see the product. and then they want to call me up.
That's fantastic insight. That is absolutely fantastic. So you let go of the control of making mistakes and being right.
Absolutely. I mean, it's to me, I understood quick to not take things. So, I mean, let me think how to word this correctly. I don't beat myself up over perfection because no one's perfect. I just try to make an excellent video. But I don't get all hung up over it. Oh, my gosh, did I say the right thing? I get in front of the camera, I say it, I cut the video, and I upload it, and then I make the next video, and I get it out there. YouTube is an excellent tool to harness, guys. It's free marketing. People don't like to read as much these days. They want to see the products in front of them. So if you're in a network marketing company and you have some products there, you definitely want to cut a quick YouTube video, because let me tell you something. The first thing that I want to do is see a video on it. I just don't want to read the companies that's selling it. I don't want to read their advertisement because I understand sales, and of course they're going to tell you it's the greatest product in the world. I want to see a real person demonstrating it.
That is a great point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the first thing I do. Personally, in my own life, when I buy a new product, the first thing I do is I go to YouTube. I want to actually see the product, and I want to have a salesperson telling me about, a person demoing it.
Brad, would you agree it's important that you have passion in what you do in a business?
Absolutely. I am very passionate about cannabis medicine. If you go to my page, Plan of Renown, my Facebook page, there's a cannabis oil testimonial. There's stories of people that I've personally helped get better with cannabis-based medicine. It's something I'm very, very passionate about. So you should definitely be passionate about, one, yourself, first and foremost, but two, the company that you're involved in and the products that you sell. Absolutely.
Can you share a little bit about branding? Most people get overwhelmed about the thought of branding themselves, specifically putting myself out there, making a mistake, not being perfect. When you started to build your brand, how were you able to attract so many people so quick? Because what we encounter, many people have 400 or 500 people on their fans, on their friends list. How can they build the culture by using Facebook the way you did?
Yeah, what I did was I had something called FMA, First Mover Advantage. So I had a product that was brand new that not a lot of people knew about. So I made sure that I was going to be the go-to guy in the industry. So, every single place that there was an article about medical marijuana or children, I would make a comment on it and direct them to my website. Branding is very important because people are buying into the person that's selling the product. So you should be very knowledgeable about your industry and about your products, and you want to be the go-to person whenever that product comes up. Whenever your product comes up or something that has to do with your industry, you want someone to say, hey, I know this guy, let me connect you to him. And it's worked fantastic for me. I went from, being a startup, working out of my home, to right now speaking with the heads of, a couple weeks ago I closed the deal where we went into negotiations with Nutiva and Stevia Corporation. It's a 7-figure deal. It's a multi-million-dollar deal. I called those people up and got them on the phone. Just yesterday it was announced, I was able to announce on my Facebook page, Forbes magazine just listed Novus Medical Group as the number one hottest medical marijuana company in the country right now. I just signed an exclusive agreement to be the sole provider of CBD products to their 3,500-plus patient group, and it's going to be a major press release in about the next 2 weeks. So
how do you go, how do you go from a leather suitcase, a shopping cart from a grocery store, and 2 kids, 3 years later, you are where you are today? How does someone listening who's down and out, who's emotionally or physically challenged right before the holidays, how do they do what you do with the full set of teeth?
That you have to believe in yourself and believe that the situation that you're in right now isn't permanent, and you need to work your ass off to make your dreams become your reality, and you need a simple system that you follow every single day that you're dedicated to, and if you follow it to your best ability and strive for excellence, not perfection, you will achieve your goals.
Brad, you've seen Alexa speak many times. You see how simple she is and how she stresses a lot of the same things you do. She comes across the same way. She's not real flashy, but she's really consistent. She's methodical, systematic, and organized. How important is it to have some of these skills? Organization, a simple system. How important is it to incorporate those two into your enterprise?
It is crucial. For me, I keep a list. I'm not ashamed to say that, but I make a list, and I can tell you every single day what I'm doing by this half hour. From waking up, the first thing I do is make my bed, to set blocks of time where I'm doing the same thing every single day, as long as there's something, you know, major doesn't happen that interrupts it. But I can tell you exactly what I'm doing every single day by the hour, and I follow that system every day. Every single day I make a list of things I have to do and get them done. Every single day I make phone calls. So I keep things very simple because I run my business pretty much by myself. Obviously, it's grown so big now that I'm going to have a full staff and employees. I have a different type of business. It's not network marketing. It's not an MLM. But still, you know, I keep everything so I can manage it by myself and so that everything flows consistently every single day.
Now, you mentioned a company. Thank you for the content. That was fantastic. You mentioned company Stevia. Who is that?
Okay, so Stevia Corporation and Nutiva are multi-million dollar corporations in the health and wellness industry. They make non-GMO organic products, Nutiva particularly. Stevia Corporation is, if you guys go to the grocery store, you can get a Stevia sweetener. It's a plant sweetener. That's an alternative to sugar. Stevia and Nutiva have formed a joint venture called Real Hemp Inc., and this company is looking to be in control of 70% of the world's hemp production in the next 5 years.
So you called them up, and this the term many people would use, a cold call. I don't call it that, but you didn't call anyone from out of the blue. These are not terms I teach people. There is no out of the blue. You're calling from your desk, theoretically, or somewhere. So you called these companies up. How did you get past the gatekeeper to get the decision maker?
It was pretty amazing. With Real Hemp Inc., I saw their website, and I saw that they were obviously a major corporation. They were going to be a big player in the industry. And I simply filled out a contact us form, and I said, introduced myself. I'm Brad Mawson. I'm the owner of Hemp Remedies. I have about 200 vendors nationwide that I supply CBD products to. I also have the largest legal CBD product retail company there is, and I also work for a CBD oil manufacturer. This is what we do. I would like to know more about your company and see if we could work together. Very simple, point blank. 24 hours later, I got a phone call from one of their executives that scheduled a phone call with me and their head executive 2 days later. And I was on the phone for an hour and a half with the head of Stevia, the head of Nutiva, and the head of their research department. And it was an amazing phone call for about an hour. We spoke and chat, and now we're in negotiations with them for some future ventures.
So it all started with you writing a sales letter, is that correct?
Basic contact us form, yes. I'm Brad Mossman. I'd like to learn more about it. It's very simple, guys.
Tell them how you do that, because this is good. You know how to – you're calling in a whole different forum. You have to go through a whole series of channels to get to the decision maker in the big leagues. How does a guy who is homeless – go to work in contact with multi-million-dollar CEOs and presidents of companies. How did you pull this off?
Yeah, I just believed in myself. It was, you know, I just took the initiative to write a letter. What's the worst that they can say? No, we're not interested. Or they don't call you? All right, on to the next one. So,
you know, it's really interesting. I shared the story at the start of the call. I saw this all. I mean, I saw you with a leather suitcase on the second floor at the Rosen Center. The Rosen Center in Orlando on International Drive, a fabulous hotel right across the street from the Peabody, right down the street from the Hilton. You come into my room with a leather suitcase on the second floor, $20 to your name. That was five years ago this January. 5 years ago, you were destitute. You had just gotten out of a rehab, had no teeth, and I believe I gave you a free product that day because you gave me your last $20.
You gave me your whole book collection for $20. Yes, you did.
That's correct.
That was one of the best gifts I ever received. I've read all of them many times over.
So once again, the outhouse to the penthouse, the rags to riches story. It's really overrated to go through what you went through. I mean, everyone on the call doesn't have to hit rock bottom. They don't have to fish the quarters out of their car. You don't have to call your mommy and beg for money, but you have to have character. How did you develop the character? Because you had beat yourself up for so many years. I mean, you had been a chronic addict. I mean, chronic, like me. People ask them frequently, how did you do it? And if you can explain it, you are a champ.
Yeah, it first starts with belief. I hit rock bottom, but the good news is that you don't have to if you don't want to. It starts with a decision, and it starts with, you know, working towards your dreams. Find something you're passionate about and work your ass off for it. Work 7 days a week around the clock. Work as hard as you can. Make the phone calls. Follow, you know, model someone that's successful. If you can find a coach, hire them. A coach is paramount. I tell people all the time, you know, when I explain that I listen to Jeffrey Combs every single day, and they say, oh, how come every day? And I say, well, if you look at a professional athlete, all these guys that make $20, $40, $80 million a year throwing the football, one thing they all have in common is they all have a coach, because a coach can see things in you that you can't see in yourself. They have a different perspective of the game than you do. So, you know, I believe that having a coach or a business mentor is paramount. And there's so much, if you don't have a lot of money in the beginning, there's so many free resources. Again, Jeffrey, your books, they're very affordable. Grab Jeffrey's books, Jeffrey's free podcast. This is going to help put you in the right mindset and give you the confidence to succeed. There are so many free nuggets that are being passed out on these phone calls. Take them and run with them, you know. But it came down to being sick and tired, making a decision that I'm not going to live like this anymore, deciding that I'm going to find a way, finding that way, and working my ass off for it. And that's how I did it.
So you were actually paying the price, but for years you didn't have the intestinal fortitude. You didn't have the drive. You didn't have the passion. You didn't have the vision. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, your self-esteem was in the toilet. How did you pick yourself up, your self-esteem, and go from trading time for dollars to well on your way to being a millionaire?
Yep, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, number one. And, you know, mindset training. And then, you know, just setting small goals and making them, and it kept building me up to getting me to where I am.
What's the value of a clearly defined short-term goal versus the big goal that we have, the pie in the sky rainbow? Share a little about clearly defined short-term goals and having a vision to accomplish it.
Excellent. Yeah, good question. So for me, I find that having these great big dreams are good. You should have a couple of those. But the problem is if all that you're focusing on is all the big ones, for someone that's just getting started in life or just getting started in business, when things aren't working out your way, you're going to get frustrated and you may give up. So when you have shorter, clearly defined goals that are obtainable, okay, or, you know, might be a little harder to obtain but might take a little bit longer, but you can readjust to get those goals, you're going to find success much faster, because as you're knocking off the smaller short-term goals, then you're going to work your way closer to the bigger ones. So you're also going to gain skills along the way as you're obtaining those short-term goals, because you're going to go through a system to get them. And when you see when you're starting to knock goals off one by one, that's going to build your confidence and build your momentum going forward in business.
That's great content. Go ahead and share with them whatever offer you have for this evening. I know you have some great products, or how someone can get a hold of you and find out more about your story. You gave some great tips tonight. How can someone get a hold of you and find out more about your products that they can use every day in their home and every day to day life?
Thank you. My name is, again, Brad Mossman, Mossman. My office number is 616-719-6444. And my main business is Hemp Remedies. You can find me on Facebook and on the web at www.hempremedies.com.
You sell a lot of household products that can be used day-to-day, shampoos, a lot of wellness products. So there's a whole variety of products. That was fascinating about the concrete product. That just makes total sense. I'd never heard of that product I'm definitely going to be looking that up. Brad Mosselin, I want to thank you for being my guest on tonight's Tuesday night call. Thank you for sending people to my events. I consistently meet people that you refer me to at events across the United States as your enterprise is growing. We'll have you back on a call later next year. I'll see you in Philadelphia in January. You'll be sharing your story. Brad, thank you very much. I want to thank everyone for being on tonight's call. This is the next to last Tuesday before the holiday Thanksgiving. So I will be suiting up and showing up next Tuesday night, two nights before the fantastic American holiday Thanksgiving. This Saturday, I will be at the Hilton Hotel on Century Boulevard at LAX. It's going to be a fabulous event. Crystal Lowry will also be my featured speaker in the afternoon. I want to thank each and every one of you for being on tonight's call. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a great evening, everyone. This call is recorded and will be available for playback by noon Pacific Standard Time tomorrow. Have a great evening. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Jeffrey.